It was so good, they ended it early.
Hello and welcome to edition 222 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at Arch and Towers in the centre of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio, and we are here to review the Canadian Grand Prix, that last bastion of F1 entertainment. Don't worry, we will have plenty more besides that too. Coming up, a checkered pass, a subpar performance, and only Rogro. And also, Prediction League update, the big one. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey, and joining us on tonight's pod, we have my fellow NRF1 podcast founder, Perry Hamilton.
Evening.
F1 blogger, Dan's bro, and the man Hamilton fans love to hate, Callum Springle.
Good evening.
And budding F1 engineer, Callum's brother, Dan Springle.
Hello.
There is everyone. Are we all well, gents? How are we? Good, good, Perry.
Yeah.
Not been too long.
Been way too long. Absolutely. I couldn't honestly tell you why. I couldn't be like, oh no, I had all this to do and everything like that. And I've watched the races as well. The only one I missed was Monaco, because we know it's a gimmick, so I just didn't bother. But I was on my way back from Slam Dunk Festival in Leeds.
Oh, how was that?
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Really, really good. I saw Creeper, Taking Back Sunday, Jimmy Eat World, Moose Blood, State Champs, 4 years strong. £50, can't beat that. It's brilliant.
That sounds great. Jimmy Eat World, heard of them.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Callum, you well? Mr. Employed?
Yeah, a bit tired.
You're working very well. How's the blogging going as well?
That's four wheels for Rich.
Yeah, that's not four wheels. Wasn't a train, sadly, but he was doing a very good job with his skip. Anyway, Callum, blogging. Get your plug in. This is where you get your plug in.
Yeah, so it's callumspringle.wordpress.com.
Yes.
Took a bit of a hit last week.
What did you do to it?
Well, as it turns out that when I'm on the late shift, I don't really have so many hours in a day as I normally would. For example, when I get up at 4:30 in the morning. So I'll update it a couple of times this week. So things are in the pipeworks.
Sell it. Sell it, Callum. That's the way. Dan, hello and congratulations.
Thank you.
You are very close to becoming an engineer in Formula One. That's basically how I've read it.
Basically. So I now have my degree, so trying to get myself on the Formula One ladder.
First class degree, Ped, first class.
Anyone who can get a first class degree is outstanding, and anyone who can do it in something that has such finite margins and such infinitesimal margins for error, margins for error like engineering, I cannot get my head round. So my imaginary hat is doffed to you, sir.
Brilliant, Dan. We look forward to you going to a Formula One team at some point soon and then feeding us all this juicy gossip.
Do you just think that, like, when, you know, your kids are a little older and I have a kid and it's sat on my knee in, like, 20 years' time, I'm going to be sitting there and they'll go live to the pit wall to team boss and it'll be Dan and I'll literally drop my kid and go, oh my god, I knew that guy, it was amazing. I think that'll happen.
We need to up the pace now. Oh, f*** off, leave me alone. It'll be great and we'll know it's Dan. It'll be wonderful. Dan's being sworn at. Brilliant.
It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah, love it. Let's get straight on with it then, shall we? We've got so much to talk about. Canada. We were hoping this might be a little bit more entertaining than recent races. Didn't really happen, did it, Ped? And you're like the big Canada aficionado. This is your race. This is your weekend.
I'm big on Canada, and I got so excited just seeing when they do like little, you know, they do the vignettes before they start and everything, and they talk about, you know, there's Damon Hill stood on the line talking about Gilles Villeneuve and talking about the history and everything. Yes. It's such a good track, and it's normally such a great race. I have seen social media after this race of people saying, if even Canada is it's because of these cars. And I think, get your head out of your here, people. This Formula One season has actually been pretty decent. Those first few races that started us off, we were all here talking about how good they were, how exciting they were. Even races that don't normally deliver have given us really exciting races this year. And I just think, it's Canada, it's one race, it's going to sort itself out, and next year it's going to be back to being amazing. Every race has an anomaly. For Canada, it's when it's bad. For most other races, or at least half the races on the calendar, the anomaly is when they turn out to actually be exciting. So let's all get off Canada's back, man.
Leave Canada alone. I mean, I do have this theory through most Formula One seasons that the more races we get, the more data the teams pick up, the clever people, and they're very clever people, figure it out, and it becomes predictable because clever people make things predictable. I mean, it's an interesting point as well that Ped makes, Dan, that maybe the last few Grand Prix have been pretty poor, but things are pretty open this season. Sebastian Vettel's back in the lead of the Drivers' Championship, but only by a point. Red Bull are right up there. We have that kind of closeness at the front. Mercedes aren't what they were. It's just maybe not happening race by race basis.
Yeah, well, Mercedes haven't exactly run away with it, have they? And Hamilton's not exactly been perfect. I think this weekend has to be a big indicator of that. Like, Valtteri Bottas has done a very good job getting P2, and Hamilton really struggled to even finish fifth. So it's open, and that's what we want. Red Bull hopefully need to upgrade a bit more, and hopefully we'll have Red Bull in the mix a bit more as well. So exciting things to come.
That's good then. Do you feel the same way, Callum? Because a lot of people are thinking it's pretty shit at the moment.
No, I think it's quite good, to be fair.
Yes! Listen to this!
It kind of reminds me of 2010, when there were, again, three constructors quite evenly well or evenly matched at this stage in the season. You couldn't really predict who was going to win it. You couldn't definitively say who was the fastest or who was the favourite for the championship. But even so, some of the races were complete shit. It's just kind of a fact of life in Formula One, is that sometimes you get good races, sometimes you don't. It doesn't mean that the championship's bad.
Well, it's like Vettel said yesterday, I saw a quote by him that he said, don't worry too much, because if you watch the World Cup, for example, some matches are going to be really good, some are going to be absolutely shocking. And it's the same with Formula One and all sorts of sports, so don't get too panicked.
I guess we just get a bit spoiled when things are really good.
And that's exactly it, Mike. And to your point, Dan, that's a fantastic reference. I saw that same quote. I think we have this expectation for Formula One because we wait a fair amount of time for it. We're a good four or five month off season. We have that big break in the middle. And apart from, okay, this year is different because we are going to get like three races in 3 weeks, aren't we? We just get France, Austria, Britain. Yeah, nods around the table. Cool. So we get that run. But we don't normally have that. We will normally wait 2 to 3 weeks before something happens. And it's such glitz. It's such glamour. It's high speed. It's money. It's power on the circuit, if you get what I mean by that. It's flash. It's flair. It is meant to be the embodiment of excitement. And when you only get the embodiment of excitement every now and then, you don't get it all the time. When it doesn't live up to being exciting, people say, oh, it's boring. And people are saying, it's getting boring, I don't know if I'll continue to watch it. If you have one Christmas, but the other 6 years of Christmas that you have had are amazing, are you suddenly after that one year of Christmas going to go, let's bin off Christmas? No, you're not. And this is the point. And again, people who watch boxing matches, they get promoted for months and months and months. You know they're coming. The people in them get paid millions. The people promoting them make millions. And they can be over in one round. But that might not be exciting. It might just be someone wears it out, gets a lucky shot. You're still going to buy that next boxing fight. You might gripe and groan that it's but you're still going to buy it. I don't know why people think this is a different, or they should be expecting a different outcome. It's a sport. And to your point, Dan, and more to Vettel's point, and I think, Callum, you were making some of the same ones, it's not going to be exciting all the time. It physically can't be. So why do we make such a big deal out of it when it isn't? And I know this sounds like I'm just trying to defend Canada because I love Canada, but I am actually trying to make a legitimate point about not just this particular sport, but sport in general. I do have a bit of a theory as to why people may start to be resenting F1 and calling it boring, and I will come to that in our Patreon pod.
Oh, wow. Love that. It's good work, Ben. Missed you. Good man. All right, well, let's quickly switch over to actually who the guys who did win the race. I mean, it was Sebastian Vettel's 50th Grand Prix win, I think. Probably the most Sebastian Vettel-esque win ever. Got pole, disappeared, see you later. And then he won the race. Hooray! Some great stats as well from Crofty. Well, this wasn't a particularly great stat, but it is a stat. First Ferrari win in Canada since 2004, the one I liked. Every time this century that Ferrari have won in Canada, they've also won the Drivers and Constructors Championships. Now, I mean, that might only be once. I don't know how many times. I mean, I guess it would have happened a lot in the early 2000s. But Seb, I mean, he probably needed that. And also with the question marks over Ferrari recently in terms of their power and what they were doing, hasn't really affected them.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show that some people can blow hard. It doesn't necessarily make whatever they're campaigning for true. I guess on the race, I think some people are going to really hate on me for saying this.
Here we go. Here comes the bomb.
But I guess if you look at Hamilton's performance in Spain, it was more or less an unrivaled performance almost by default in a way. Whereas in Canada, Vettel made it look equally easy for the most part. In a race where Red Bull were right on the pace, Mercedes were right on the pace, and he was only, what, 900ths of a second ahead of Bottas in qualifying. Nobody had a bad race, really, or no one had a compromised race, and yet he still just completely walked away with it.
Perhaps the only person who did have a compromised race is probably the one person who wouldn't have finished ahead of Seb, which was his teammate, Kimi Räikkönen, and I think I saw it himself, he made one little mistake in qualifying. It cost him a few places on the grid, and I guess had he have had that little head start, he might have been a bit more in the mix to at least finish on the podium.
Yeah, well, that was that really, wasn't it, after qualifying? Who knew that would have happened, because historically Canada has been rather good for overtaking, and what with having the third DRS zone to help, which in the end, in hindsight, had like f***ing difference. So,
well, tell you what, let's go around the table just briefly. Why were there no overtakes this year? In your opinion, what happened? Just briefly.
I found it quite interesting. They gave them an extra DRS zone, and I heard someone say during qualifying that the purpose of the extra DRS zone is not to allow them to overtake on the straight, but to allow them to be side by side as they go into the corners so that they can be overtaking and in the turning zones. The obvious answer that seems to get thrown around a lot is it's difficult for F1 cars to follow closely. The truth of the matter is, take Hamilton and Ricciardo, it's been a while, towards the end, those last few laps of the race, those sort of last 10, 15 laps of the race. The problem with Canada is, because there's so many straights, cars are getting stretched out across the track. So that, for me, is why there may not have been a lot of overtake. Is, to be fair, to begin with, everyone's on each other's Seb's got clean air, scuttles off into the distance. Towards later in the race, everyone's too spread out.
You too?
I think it can't really be put down to anything other than the cars. I mean, these are the fastest that there's ever been. So cornering speeds are higher than they've ever been. Therefore, the straights are shorter than they've ever been. And the braking zones are shorter than they've ever been. And you need those to be as long as possible to get as good a chance as possible to overtake. It's just that simple, really.
Well, for me, it's two things. The first one would be the fact that they had three DRS zones. The cars will run more downforce, so you're punching a bigger hole through the air, and that leaves a much bigger wake for the car behind, so you're naturally going to tend towards more understeer, which will kill your front tyres, making it more difficult to follow. And then the second for me would be the tyres, because Canada has quite a low track grip. It's quite a smooth surface from what I've known, in terms of the actual stones roughness, and that generally tends to increase your sort of dependence on adhesion. So if you're putting too much strain through the tyre in that sense, you'll grain it very quickly, and we saw that on the Hypersoft and the Ultrasoft. So perhaps even Pirelli tried to bring two softer tyres to Canada, so I would say maybe bring another step harder.
You f***ing soft.
Can I ask you a question, and this is genuine, from a technical point of view? You've just said three DRS zones means cars run higher downforce, which means they punch a bigger hole. The bigger the hole, the harder it is to follow closely. Am I right with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. These cars that we've got now, and even I believe with this engine setup that we've got now in terms of the smaller engines and the hybrids and what have you, we haven't had tracks that haven't had DRS zones. So from a technical point of view, could we be actually looking at there's more benefit in having no DRS zones? If we completely did away with DRS zones, would it allow cars to maybe follow a bit closer and take those dives into the corners? Maybe.
To a degree, yeah. I think if you take away the DRS zones in qualifying, because you want to set your car up for optimal between qualifying and race, and some teams will tend to sway either way because maybe they want a better race performance if you can overtake on the circuit, but perhaps at Monaco, for example, that's completely different.
Because it's a gimmick race.
Yeah.
But carry on.
If you take away the DRS zones, yes, people will probably tend to run lower downforce, and in theory you will then run a smaller wake behind you, leave more energy in the air behind you. So in theory, taking away the DRS zones could help, but then the benefit that the DRS does give you in terms of once you're within that second, depending on the track, it can help you actually quite a lot. So
it's remarkable, isn't it? You can see that closing distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. What about then, because we make F1 better on the NRF1 podcast.
Proven.
Fact. Hashtag fact. How about we only allow a DRS in what would be deemed by Pirelli to be the pit stop windows? So you don't actually
only
have...
per lap, you mean in laps?
Well, maybe,
lap
yeah.
Numbers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So actually, we're only going to have DRS between laps 20 and 30, and then lap 35 and 45, and actually outside of that, we're not going to have it at all.
The one thing I love about Formula 1 is how clever all these people are, and no matter what ideas we come up with, someone very clever would probably find a way to make, therefore, the rest of the race or really scupperous, but who knows?
From practice, the teams will know exactly what the car is doing, then they'll have the simulator, and then they'll have all of the simulations before the race. So the teams know exactly what's going to happen before they even get there. So
wait, why do we even run the race? Exactly. That's spoken like a true engineer.
It's f***ing great having an engineer, isn't it? Like you say, like F1's full of clever people. That I can't get my head around that. I still don't understand half the stuff about F1 I talk about.
Well, let's move it on then. Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Okay, and I'm sure we'll carry this debate and also about Raikkonen. There's a bit more I want to talk about Raikkonen in our Patreon podcast. But for now, a quick reminder, the best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three at the NRF1. Our Facebook page has a Facebook group too, so get involved in that. And obviously, as always, we love hearing your emails too. We give them a good old read, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Everything's brought together at our website, nrf1.uk. Right, let's fire up our NRF1 pit stops. So we stop off at three places in this pod. Let's have a quick stop at Mercedes, shall we? You've sort of touched on this already, Callum. So, Dan, let's have a quick chat with you. Should Mercedes be worried about Ferrari?
Yeah, of course they should. I think all things being equal, it's a fairly fair fight. Hamilton, as Callum said, ran away with it in Barcelona. Vettel, likewise, this weekend. So let's see what happens. I think they should be very worried.
There's some great Toto Wolff expressions, we should say, during the whole Montreal weekend. It was a joy to watch him. I'd have quite liked a Toto cam in the corner. I think we'd have got some real joy out of that. Engine upgrades, I think Mercedes were kind of hoping they would come along and they didn't. Is that one of the things that could make a difference going forward? Because, as I said, they should be worried, probably.
Well, they seem to think it would probably give them somewhere around 1.5 tenths. That would have put Bottas on pole. And oof, probably would have meant they would have won the race.
Oh,
so yeah, probably.
He was kind of resigned, wasn't he, Valtteri, to second being the best he could hope for. I mean, could it have been better? He did make a mistake when at one point it looked like he might be able to catch Seb, but I guess Seb probably had everything under control.
And to use the old Murray Walker quote, catching in Formula One is one thing, passing quite
yes,
another.
Callum. Love old Murray. And Lewis Hamilton, they sorted out his coolant, but that didn't really make much of a difference in terms of his pace, did it? I think they were hoping he would sort it all out. Renault, I wanted to stop off at, because, I mean, we touched on, Dan, you mentioned Red Bull, and I think it came up in the commentary on Sky. It is remarkable that they are so far ahead. They were lapping Renault, and, I mean, Renault are the guys supplying Red Bull with their engine. I mean, doesn't that just underline? We sort of take it for granted a bit, I guess, what Red Bull are doing, but with the same engine, they are light years ahead of where Renault are, even though Renault want to clearly close them down.
Yeah, oddly enough, my friend Adam and I, who watched the race together, shout out to Adam Noon.
Come on the podcast, Noonie.
I keep telling him. But we watched this race together last night and we had this exact conversation. And they said, you know, oh, catching Renault, you know, supply their engine, it's the customer team. And I said, well, hold your horses there. One, I guarantee you Red Bull are pumping far more money into their team than Renault are. Guaranteed. You beg to differ?
I've been to Enstone in the last month.
Yeah.
The amount of money they're pumping into that factory is f***ing amazing. Like, okay, honestly, they have almost doubled the size.
Then let me rephrase. The amount of money that has consistently and historically been pumped into the teams recently is on Red Bull's side.
Lotus years. I don't think they got money pumped
they're
in there.
Still recovering from the Lotus years. This is why they're so bad. And it just goes to show that it's all well and good having a decent engine, but without a half-decent chassis, you're basically f***ing.
And that brings us on to the second point, where Adam simply said they've got Adrian Newey, the F1 whisperer.
Love him. Poor old Lotus, dragging Formula One through the mud. Love you, Lotus. Curious with Danny Ric, couldn't really match Max Verstappen's pace this weekend, which given on Thursday, was it, Max Verstappen said he was going to headbutt the next person who questioned whether he was having too many crashes. Good, I love Max. Go on, can't argue with that. But yeah, I mean, Danny Rick's done really well, but it wasn't quite his level this week.
Yeah, I think all things being considered, there weren't, well, at the end, I don't know if anyone else has seen it. I've seen a video of Ricardo, probably even the Sky viewers would have seen it, when he thought he had the fastest lap that he set on the on the last lap, I believe it was. And because of the flag f*** up, he didn't get it, and his face just dropped.
That's amazing. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he thought Lazenby was joshing him. He thought Lazenby was taking the piss out of him. But then he realised it was true, and that's exactly the right phrase. His face dropped, and you know the guy that's always smiling, always happy. There was some fire behind those eyes.
Yeah. It was kind of added insult to injury in that Verstappen now leads the DHL fastest lap award.
Yeah. What a up. I will be talking about that most definitely in a bit. Some interesting words from Christian Horner as well on certain bits and bobs in terms of pit stops and 2019 cars, but I think we might save that for the Patreon podcast as well. Final stop I wanted to make was Fernando Alonso, bless him, because he 300 up, his 300th Grand Prix, Callum. What a way to live it, being retired in a McLaren as Zac Brown with his miserable face watched on. At least Le Mans coming up, eh?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a far more fruitful way to celebrate his 300th Grand Prix.
What, by winning another Formula Series?
Well, he's not going to do it with McLaren, though, is he?
I mean, let's be clear. They made all those upgrades we talked about a lot in a few weeks' time. I mean, they were, what, well adrift in Q2, weren't they, during qualifying, and did all in the race.
There were promising signs in practice. I know it's only practice, but even so, they were right on the back of even the top three teams. I mean, we've seen in previous Grand Prix, from one day to another, based on track conditions, teams can sway massively in their competitiveness. It doesn't really matter who they are, because it's happened to all of them, pretty much. So there are promising signs there. It's just all got to come together, and perhaps at some point during the season they can show themselves as the fourth fastest team.
Just a quick abridged version. Le Mans, how is it shaping up for Alonso? When actually is it? Is it this coming weekend?
Yeah.
And is he going to win it?
Probably.
Who's he racing with?
Toyota.
And drivers?
Sebastian Buemi and Mike Conway?
Oof. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or is it Nakajima?
No, I think Nakajima's in the other car. I think it's always been Buemi, Conway and Davidson, hasn't it?
It might be Kobayashi.
Okay.
Who knows, someone.
Close enough.
It's one of those three.
Either way, Jenson Button's in it this year and we're absolutely raving over this, aren't we?
But will Fernando finish well ahead of Jenson? In terms of their cars, I know they're not the only drivers.
They're going to qualify well ahead of the non-hybrids, because that's just the way it is in qualifying. They'll probably get the added benefit. To be honest, I don't really understand it. But
you sound like you do, Callum. That's the most important thing. So
I bought into that. I was just like, how does this boy fit all this knowledge into his head? Oh, wait, he doesn't. He's just ruined it for everyone. Thanks, Callum.
Not at all.
The difference is that in the race, I suppose consistency matters a lot more, and it's in a way a little bit of a black art to rely on hybrid power for your speed, whereas the non-hybrid, the independent teams like SMP, for example, just have a spade for a spade, essentially.
I find that a lot in my Toyota Yaris as well. Not really. So Triple Crown, of course, is what Fernando Alonso is still presumably trying to do, because he'll probably end up in IndyCar next season at this rate. So it'll be two steps down if he wins.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about the Triple Crown? I always thought, because everyone's talking about it like it's Formula One World Championship.
No, it's Monaco.
It's not. It's Monaco, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just Monaco, Indy 500, and Le Mans. The three most famous races. That and the Dakar Rally or whatever it is.
And that's why Juan Pablo Montoya could have been triple crown winner, because a few years ago there were rumours that he was going to do Le Mans, and I think he is this year.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I can't remember who he's doing it with, but he's definitely doing something with World Endurance this year.
He could possibly win the Triple Crown this year.
I'll tell you, he's doing LMP2. Yeah. He's with United Autosports.
Yeah, he's not going to win it.
So he's not going to win it.
Not yet.
Not yet. Next year.
Might get a class win, but that doesn't count.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well,
we want our class wins don't count.
Yeah.
Do we?
Obvs.
There's a repeat of last season's race, but it's 23 hours instead. Or whatever it was, 22 hours and 53 minutes.
It's like someone waved the flag early.
I hope that's true. Brilliant. Well done, Fernando. 300 up. What a way to finish it. Many more pit stops and chats about the 2018 Canadian Grand Prix will feature in our exclusive Patreon podcast. To hear that and more, check out patreon.com, patreon.com/NRF1, right after this podcast. Now, as always, it's time for our Of the Week Ends. We start with our Rodolfo Gonzalez Driver of the Weekend. Let's make up some time, shall we, and rattle through these. Seb?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say Max.
Charles Leclerc.
You
literally had that on the tip of my tongue.
Brotherly love. He's
much beeping going to be happening in this podcast?
I love it. I love it that way. He's decent, isn't he, Charles?
Love it.
Or as we call him on this podcast, Leclerc.
Oh.
More of that to come. More of that to come. More of that to come. Team of the weekend. This is always an awkward one.
I kind of want to give it to Red Bull. But then I've already said Max as my driver, so I just feel. And then I was saying about the money thing earlier. Everyone just thinks that I'm all over the Red Bull right now. I'm definitely not.
Well, what you can't see is that Ped is surrounded by bottles of Red Bull or cans.
I'm totally jacked up right now on caffeine and taurine or whatever it is they put in that.
All the
your wings.
Apparently,
he's flying at the moment.
Now it sounds like we're sponsored by them because Dan's using the catchphrase.
We're trying, Ped. We're trying. Okay. Red Bull?
Renault?
Well, just for their engine that they put in the back of a Red Bull. Is that why?
Well, to be in their position and to be quite comfortably the fourth fastest team on race day, I think they were like half a second faster than Ocon.
Progress. Yeah. McLaren would love that.
Can I pull you all back to the predictions I made last year and at the beginning of this year about how good Renault were going to be?
I can't remember them, but sure, Ped.
I definitely did. I have been banging that yellow and black drum. The second coming of Jordan, I have been banging that drum for a very long time.
I suppose you could say, after all, he did not pass the buck.
Yes, Callum.
Because that prediction was made in the buck.
Was it?
Yeah.
What is your memory like?
Was then when we did the Formula One questionnaire, wasn't it? Was that the same night we did that?
Oh, the survey. Yeah. God, we're not going to have to do that this year, are we? No, I think we've already missed that boat. It's not 4 hours of podcast.
Mike, it's not the National Office of Statistics. You can't get fined if you don't do it.
You say that. Okay, we're Dan?
Red Bull.
Yeah, fair enough. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. Votes?
Lance Stroll. The walking weapon.
It was a puncher.
Oh. Yeah, sure it was.
So, I have to say, there seemed to be... This was, of course, the... I tell you what, this was the race... Hang on, Ben.
I actually have an answer for that.
Well, hold that thought. We'll come to it. This is now the perfect time to bring in Richard Baxter, our commentator extraordinaire. God bless him. He did a commentary live for the start of the race, which is brilliant. He started doing them. He did one last time out for the Monaco Grand Prix, which, of course... when he joyfully said, I wonder what else will happen, and nothing did. I wonder if he says, I haven't listened to this yet, it's the first time I've heard it. Here's Richard Baxter commentating on the start of this year's Canadian Grand Prix. Rum, rum.
Hello everybody, you're back again once again with me, Rich, this time for the start of the Canadian Grand Prix. If you listened last time, thank you very much, you'd have heard the Monaco start, which was a bit boring to be honest, but this is Canada, it's going to be exciting. On snack watch this week, we've got a complete range, different to last week's poppadoms, but we have crisps and a dip, we have nuts, even got a pot noodle, and of course we've got a nice beer on the go. But back to the important stuff, back to the F1.
You got to love what Rich is doing here. He's so good. Snack watch.
Snack watch is amazing. That should be a hashtag. Hashtag F1 snack watch.
It will be from here. Anyway, sorry, Rich. Carry on, Rich.
I think this start is going to be something interesting. And to be honest, I'm going to say, predict now, just before the race starts, keep an eye out for Verstappen and Hamilton going to turn one and two. It's very tight, and it could be quite interesting. So the last car, Romain Grosjean, whose engine went boom in qualifying, has just pulled into position. Here come the lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pause. Go. Ooh, Verstappen seemed to get a good start. Verstappen's up the inside of Bottas. Vettel's in the lead. Ooh, can Verstappen keep it? Verstappen, Hamilton looks clear, he's still in fourth. Bottas and Verstappen side by side. I think Bottas is just going to hold on though. It looks like most people are through clean. There's a bit of dust kicked up in the background, but I think they're there cleanly. And Ricciardo's on inside of Raikkonen, so he's got through. And there's Hülkenberg in there as well. Oh my gosh, there's too much happening. Ooh, and it looks like Ocon and Hülkenberg are side by side. Can Ocon get through? He has. Ocon's got through. I think Hülkenberg might have. Oh, that's massive. That's Hartley and Williams. Is that Stroll? That was a massive crash. Oh my gosh. Hartley, did good in practice. And yeah, it's Hartley and Stroll. And Hartley in qualifying was up there. And here is a safety car. That was a massive crash. He was on his side. What happened there? Quah! I think Stroll just squeezed him into the barrier there. I think Hartley can feel aggrieved about that one. And that's going to be a bit of a penalty for Stroll, I think. That was, he ran wide and he just kind of ran Hartley out of road. Oh dear. But to be honest, there's an example of where the halo could have saved someone's life, because that was Hartley's car pretty much on the side of Stroll, so that was big. So safety car, so we'll have to replay. That is crazy. So yeah, we're gonna have to see what happens for the rest of this race, but that's a massive start and a massive crash. hope they're okay.
Well, once again, Rich, they were all okay, and nothing else happened in the race for the second week running. Brilliant comms there from Rich. What a star.
Well, better comms than was on Sky, because it was long after that that they thought to mention the halo. Because so, Rich got in there with halo comments very early, and then it was a few laps later, I think, when they'd seen the replay again, that I think it was either David Croft or Martin Brundle said, you can see the halo in action. So Rich, one step ahead, mate.
Love it. He did then include a spoiler. I need to add an apology to Stroll, as looking at further replays, you can see the oversteer, which is why they crashed. Claire Williams, she popped in. They were very adamant. Of course, you know, it was all Brendan's fault. We can't believe it. And yeah, OK, maybe Brendan shouldn't have been on the outside, but I mean, Lance just drove into him, didn't he?
Well, I don't know. Depends how you term drove into. I think there is perhaps the puncture line of argument, but so I don't know.
Did he already have a puncture?
I don't know. I have no idea.
This was his excuse, and he's a racing driver, so they're all good excuses. But
said like a true engineer.
In my opinion, whether Hartley was there or not, Stroll would have binned it, and Hartley was just an innocent bystander in that.
But just because of the pace and the line, or
incompetence?
Right, okay. That too. No, it was his home race.
Yeah, it was the car, because it was the worst one on the grid now.
Undrivable and stalling were the two words that I've heard used about Williams' car. There we go. How did you see it, Ben?
My pastor award was going to go to Claire for coming on and being so... I like it when you defend, you know, to the hilt your drivers, but it sounded almost amateurish. It sounded like... I'm not sure you know what you're talking about, but we know Claire knows what she's talking about. I mean, Christ, she's grown up around the sport and she's fantastic at what she does. But it just sounded a bit blind when you could see the replays. And it just, to me, is just like, because I think she said, Brendan just came out of nowhere and hit him. And I just thought, that's definitely not happened. Brendan is between a wall and Lance. If Brendan had come out of nowhere and hit Lance, he probably wouldn't have ended up in a wall, not straight away. So that just got my goat a little bit.
It was a pretty frightening crash, must have been.
Can I just say, what I found funny about that interview with Claire Williams is that she actually said she had not seen an interview and yet decided to give her opinion on it.
She'd not seen the replay of it?
She had not seen the replay.
Wow.
Did I say she had not seen an interview?
You did, Callum. It's all right. But you're working now, so I understand your brain doesn't work. It's fine. Yeah, well, you know, Claire Williams, a woman under extraordinary pressure, I'm sure, with what's going on at that team. I've also mentioned here Romain Grosjean, because, I mean...
Basically.
Well, are we all doing that from...
That sums up Grosjean this season.
Well, hang on. Why are we all making that noise? It might not be for the same reason.
I'm done with him. I am so over Grosjean having an F1 seat.
Okay.
I am absolutely done. I haven't been here to talk about when he decided to drive into a wall under the safety car, but it was all Ericsson's fault.
Or when he decided to floor it.
When coming back onto the track at the start. I haven't talked about any of that stuff, and it's utterly ridiculous. How this master... Right, how do you... Right, okay, hang on. No, I'm sorry, Mike. I know we're running out of time, but
37 minutes
I know, I know, but I don't care. How catastrophically stupid is it to drive into a wall when you're under safety car, when you're not being contacted by anyone and there's nothing wrong with your car? Find another job where you could do that monumental a f*** up and still turn up to work the next week... like nothing's wrong and be expected to be awesome at what you do. What's that Liverpool goalkeeper?
Loris Karius.
He screwed up in the Champions League final, did he not? I haven't seen it.
With concussion, allegedly, as well.
He's not going to play for that team again. He's not going to play goalkeeper for that team. He's probably not going to play goalkeeper at that level again, because he's made that colossal f*** up. You're going to have a lot of beeping. Sorry, Mike. All I'm saying is... how are we letting this man get back in a car? How are we letting him do that?
Well, Haas was saying yesterday that they want to give him another extension for loyalty. I was like, oh, please, God,
Kyle,
no.
Kyle. Kyle, I know you're listening.
I don't think he's got a say in it. But...
Kyle, I know you're listening. Have a word. All right?
Is it me, or is Roman the only guy who's pointing at the camera in the grid shots as well? You know, when they do the grid and they've all done their poses. I think he's pointing at the... You don't want to know what facial expressions Ped's been. Okay, well, that wasn't actually... there was a reason I brought up his name.
Sorry, Mike.
But I'm glad you got that off your chest. And you were shaking your head as well, Dan. But was that just for the same kind of reasons, just to chat about him? Or was there an incident that you thought of when I mentioned Roman for Pastor of the Weekend?
To be honest, I've basically had enough of him. I think everyone's had enough of him since when he moved to Haas, and he constantly moaned about the brakes for about 2 years solid.
Poor old Roman. Callum, when I said the name Roman, did you have an incident that popped into your mind that I might have been talking about?
Many incidents.
No.
Because, like, he's very much a feast and famine driver. because he had so many good races at Lotus where, you know, he was consistently ahead of Kimi Raikkonen much for sort of the last half of both of their seasons together. And he's shown that when he has the car underneath him, that he can go and get very, very good finishes. You know, what was it, like fifth or something, sixth in Australia on Haas's debut? And then
he had a few podiums for Lotus. He did, yeah. Okay.
He should have won.
You're right. And at Canada, he finished ahead of his teammate, Mr. Suck My Ball, Kevin Magnussen.
And funny enough, we're talking about him after he's just had a very good race from the back of the grid and been unlucky not to get in the points.
Exactly.
In a car that's been a piece of for the last week, two weekends.
Exactly. Hence the question, why have I nominated him for Pastor Maldonado of the weekend? Well, FP2. He killed a groundhog. A groundhog ran out. There's a video of it. It's so sad. I love animals. I love nature. I feel really... The groundhog's like... They've changed this place. What's going on here? Ah! And he dies. He's died. And it's an on-board. It's an on-board. It's an on-board shot.
It's an on-board shot.
It's an on-board shot.
It's an on-board shot.
And the yes, it's like... Boom. And now...
We never know. Grated beaver.
No. Because I'm generally...
Toasted on the brake duct.
I mean... I think it died.
Slightly carbonized.
You think it died after being hit by a full pelt F1 car, mate?
I think it might.
Those things are like moving razor blades. Of course it died.
I think it died.
Did you see the dent it made in his
nose? Yeah, I know. The car knows. But that's, now, I think the Dats Lifeboat, I can't remember who it was. I think it was the Dats Lifeboat. It might have been someone else. Made a prediction saying that an animal was almost going to die on the track and F1.
Our guys made that prediction? Was it Rich?
I'll have a look. I'll double check. And said that Formula One would make a big deal of it in social media. I'm guessing that because the groundhog died, God rest your soul, Mr. Groundhog, that they therefore felt they couldn't make a big deal of it on social media. But poor old Roman. I mean, just his luck that he happened to be the one who killed.
Poor old Roman. I'm fairly certain it was Ericsson hit it.
No, it was Ericsson that made his engine blow up.
Ah, yeah, that's right.
In fairness, it was a much smaller target than a wall under the safety car, so he did quite well.
Better drivers have been binned off for less reasons. Do you get what I mean when I say that than Roman? I don't understand why he's still in the car.
I think we got that gist earlier.
Was Kvyat really that good anyway?
Oh, we're not bringing Danny. No torpedoes. Giuliano Salvi, moment of the weekend.
Yeah, I've got one.
Go on.
I tweeted it. Go on. For those of you that follow the NRF1 podcast would have seen me tweet it. It was Martin Brundle talking to Winnie Harlow on the grid and then going, oh, I don't know who else I could talk to. Who else could I talk to? How about the Super Bowl winning quarterback behind Winnie Harlow who's standing there with his music superstar wife? How about you go talk to Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks? I would like to hear what he had to say. He was right there. He was a guest of Lewis Hamilton.
Great shout. But Martin... Well, he was in the shot while Martin was driving.
I tweeted it. Lewis Hamilton's car, and then stood next to it was Winnie Harlow, and then stood behind Winnie Harlow, and with Gail King. I'm sure that's her name. Yeah, she was stood there as well. I actually thought at first it might have been Ross Wilson's mum. But that's, you know, beside the point. But I know him, I just don't know his family. But I'm just thinking, like, what a superstar.
Canadian personality.
And talk, what a superstar you could go and talk to. But no, he didn't know who he was. He just went and wandered off. And when Martin Brundle asked Serge Ibaka, first he referred to him as Serge Ibaku, and then he asked Serge Ibaka if he could pick Brundle up so Brundle could see what it's like to be tall. I just thought...
That's amazing.
I was like, Brundle, you're losing it.
In fairness, his producers in his ear haven't done him any favours there, so I'll pin some of the blame on them. Great shout, Ped. Callum?
Ricardo's undercut on Hamilton.
Mm.
I just thought that was quite amusing, to be honest.
You're playing up to it now, I can tell.
And no... Literally, the giant meltdown pretty much all weekend of the... Well, just look on the Team LH hashtag. It's quite amusing.
God, you really are playing up to it.
It's really amusing.
Okay, I'll let you do that.
How deluded they all are.
Oh.
It's like you can do no wrong.
Away he goes.
And yet he was all weekend.
Just what's that Twitter handle, Callum?
It was probably on like Team LH or something like... Oh, at C Springle F1.
I hope you're
just so they know. So they know where you are.
I just can't wait till we get Callum and Melissa on the same podcast.
Well, it'll just be a fight.
Again,
we've been on the same podcast as Melissa a few times, haven't we?
We need to have that coming back now that Lewis is struggling a little bit.
We'll do it. We'll
the
do
glee in Callum's eyes.
Summer break special. Dan?
I'd probably go for Ricardo's face drop.
Okay, well, we need to mention mine, which is the checkered flag. We've already kind of touched on it. Well, that was shit. I mean, how do you actually flag the race short in the end two laps, which again, of course, is why Danny Ric lost his first lap, I know Charlie Whiting's explained it, and he could have. The bit that got me was like some of the marshals were obviously walking away from their posts, going, "Oh, the checker flags, so we'll just wander off," and no one's telling them, "No, they're still racing." So the drivers are actually still racing while the marshals are wandering around because they're all being told by their team radio, "No, keep racing, it's not finished yet." Charlie Whiting's like, "Well, yes, we need to come up with something in future where if all the marshals are walking around and everyone's still racing, we probably need to be able to deal with that." Sake, that's ridiculous. What a ridiculous fail. Miserable fail. And I know it's happened before, but me.
In fairness, do you not think that someone just looked at their watch, looked out of the window at the track and just went, "This is shit, I'm calling it."
Do that, but just let the marshals know, hey?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yes, no. The endangering of human life, which you'll notice, listeners, came up after the endangering of groundhog life.
He was the bellwether. Mr. Groundhog, he was the bellwether. This is what happens if you... Yeah.
Anyway. You could say this is truly Groundhog Day for safety in Formula One.
Callum, you're on fire today. Or you're delirious. I can't work out which it is. Top work. Right, race rating then, briefly. Canada, out of 11, please. We have a rating of 9 for last season, so very high, as it generally has been. So far this season, Azerbaijan is top, 11.35. Monaco is bottom, 5.25. Australia was 6. So it's probably, and Spain of course was 5.3, so it's kind of where you want to sit it in all those, I guess, not wishing to preempt it. Callum?
5.5.
Dan?
I was going to go for a 4, but then because Hamilton got overcut by Ricciardo, I'm going to give it a 6.
I'd probably give it a 6 myself. I think it was maybe 6.2 because it was, I thought, better than Australia, I think. Ped?
5.
Job done. I don't know what that is, but it comes to a total. Time rapidly running out. Biggest smile on their face heading home from their jet plane. Not Danny Rick, because his face dropped. So never mind. Make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe and you'll be able to find the link for you. There are loads there. If yours isn't there, let us know. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. If you do listen to us via iTunes, then please rate and review us on iTunes. nrf1.uk/is on iTunes for the interest. Why are you laughing at that, Callum?
Consistently fails to be objective about Lewis Hamilton.
Living up to it, as I said. We love those reviews, positive or not.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. Right, it's round 8, France next. We're back at Paul Ricard. This is exciting. I'm going to hide this bit. It's the first French Grand Prix since...
2008.
Well done, Dan. Who won that?
Kimi Raikkonen. It's like The Shining now, isn't it?
Really? I thought it was Felipe Massa.
It was one of the Ferraris, but not that much.
Well, Raikkonen won it because his exhaust went peep tongue, as it were, or whatever the Finnish equivalent is.
I think it's Kimi Raikkonen, but Michael could just be playing with us.
We could totally Google it and find out. Other search engines are available, but we could totally search it and find out, but I don't think we should.
You know when you're trying to catch up on time and it just doesn't work out? Kimi Raikkonen won it in 2007. Springles, you're both wrong. It was definitely... Well, I'm assuming that's winners. Is that the list of winners? Massa's win promoted him into the lead of the Drivers' Championship for the first time in his career.
I want to appeal this decision.
You two are... What's happened? Am I joking? So that was 2008. The last time the French Grand Prix was held at Paul Ricard?
1990.
One. I think.
1990. Yeah. And the winner?
Prost.
Alan Prost.
Well done, boys. Ferrari for both of them. Is this a good track? I can't really remember any racing at Paul Ricard.
I've done some simulator driving on it, so I feel probably most qualified to talk about the track.
You've got about 40 seconds.
It's a Mercedes track.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. In a sentence.
It's a Mercedes track.
There are lots of long radius corners, so it's probably going to be overtaking. Although there are sprinklers, so if they go off, it might make for a good race.
Has anyone seen Bernie this in the recent weeks? Do we know where he is?
Handing out checkered flags
to
people who don't know what they're doing with them.
Hey, it worked. We need to have something else to talk about. Montreal predictions. Now, there is a massive update. Basically, I've got up-to-date standings. We're going to go through all this on the Patreon podcast because, of course, predominantly it is a Patreon prediction league for our members, and we appreciate you guys. You get to win prizes. We've got winners now for every race. I've updated all the standings. You can find out exactly who is where on our Patreon podcast. Just check out patreon.com/nrf1. But for the avoidance of doubt, at the moment, the podcast standings, and they will eventually end up on NRF1.uk, but at the moment, Kieran Cousins leads the way. Maxwell Kerry is second. Kurt S. third. Callum, you're fourth. Top of all the podders. Nick Holder's fifth. I'm sixth. I had a very good Canada.
You're sixth?
I know. It's ridiculous, because I was doing really badly until then. Dats Life, seventh. Kyle Cumbers, eighth. Andy Whitney, ninth. Sam Todd, tenth. Steve Rust, 11th. What's gone on there? Oh.
The rise and fall of the great and mighty Steve Rust.
He's caught the rust.
Rust never sleeps.
Donald Rusty.
It's definitely delirium now, isn't it? Darren Johnson in 12th. Richard Baxter, 13th. Ped, 14th. But we haven't had enough from you, really. More Ped.
Like, I'm amazed I've even got 14th, mate. Like, I think I've maybe done two races of predictions and that's it.
Stuart Muller is 15th then. David Tillier. Daniel Scarsorzi. Cameron Rock. Stuart Webber. Melissa Rowlands. Oh, I've got Stuart Muller twice. But there we go. And Jason Burnett's all there. So that's pretty much right. But anyway, that's the standings after Canada. All up to date. We'll go through the individual winners who would pick up our prizes in the Patreon podcast. If you fancy picking up prizes as per rewards for your predictions, then just check out patreon.com/thenrf1. So you need to make a prediction for Paul Ricard, that's where we go next, for France. One prediction, then you can make your other four on the other podcast. Callum, make a prediction.
There will be somebody in the crowd who is wearing a beret, a striped shirt, and holding up a baguette.
Amazing.
With or without onions around their neck.
I'm going to go lower risk and say no onions.
Okay, no onions.
No onions.
That's very specific. Well done, Callum. Brilliant. That's why we bring you on the pod. Ted.
No dead animals. Well, then it's a Michael Bailey-friendly race.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
What about frogs?
Okay.
Oh, Lord, lie.
This is where we're going to start getting abuse.
Okay.
Right, stop that now.
He's delirious. It's all right. We'll blame it on his work. Dan.
Oh, I feel like the pressure's on now.
Yes.
I'm going to bring things slightly
involve something with a car, that would be good.
I'm going to bring things slightly down to earth and say that Bottas will win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shout. Yeah. I love that. Because I was about to say Lewis will win. So... Dan's shaking his head,
Of course, that means he won't.
Well, I said he wouldn't win in Canada, and he didn't.
What's the term? Form is temporary, but class is permanent.
You are on a wind-up mission, you. Remember, get in touch.
Get home all the time.
Just get a hold of Callum on Twitter and make some fun with that. Right, Fantasy League. We haven't got time to do that. We'll be in the Patreon podcast. Have a look at where our Fantasy League team is. But if you want to join our public NRF1 Prediction League, and I can't edit the name of the league now, so I can't remove the extra league as I tried to do. That isn't going to happen. If you want to join that, then the code is 9D328A. Do with it what you will.
It's really nice and catchy.
Thanks. It's something like that. We're done. Thanks. Here's to a French pash and just a few overtakes, please. Anything. And remember, if you want to hear more from us about Montreal, is there anything left to say? Full Paul Ricard predictions or opinions on the big F1 news and everything in between, then take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast, including the Day of Raikkonen. That's good. Christian's Crusade. It's not bad either. And Ted's on board. Cryptic. For that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/NIF1. We will return with E223, our own French Bliss, as we review all the action from across the channel, plus another bonus Patreon edition, all shortly after round 8 of the 2018 Formula One Championship. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and goodbye from the crew. From Ped.
Goodbye.
From Dan.
Goodbye.
From Callum.
Bonjour.
Come on.
Only Fools and Horses reference that.
from me. See you later. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Vive la France! Until then, goodbye!
Literally ground.
Stop it. Oh god, that is not going in. Stop it.
I think the panic stop it should definitely go in. In fact, I want that as my ringtone.